Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, boo. Welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
All right. Thank you so much, Isaiah, for that wonderful introduction. And again, you're listening to Homebase Business 101. We want to thank the 47,000-plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on the Homebase Business 101 platform, truly making this listener-supported radio. We wouldn't be able to get a message out if you didn't tune in. So we went again, sent a shout-out to all of those people saying thank you. And this show is being brought to you by The Voitex. You might say, what is The Voitex? The Voitex is a consumer booking engine that allows consumers to save 85 to 90% of the time when they book through The Voitex. Yes, we're going to do is we're looking how we can replace some of that money that goes to Expedia through our own travel mechanism. So make sure you go to www.myvoitex365.com/MU Group. Or you can give me a call at 252-458-3712 and say, hey, I need the Voitex hookup. I'm ready to start saving 85 and 90% of the time on my travel. And do that, and we will get you hooked up. So, again, just want to say thank you. And we got a special show today, which, as you know, Sundays at 3:30, we do the National Black Unity News. And today's show, Mr. Murphy is going to be sharing the platform with Brother Cliff from the Council of the Maryland Council of Elders. And they got a special program coming up, which was highlighted in the program description for the day. And so we're going to dive right on into that. Let me check and make sure we got both of our speakers on. Mr. Murphy, you there?
Yes, sir.
Brother Cliff, you there? Okay, Brother Cliff hasn't called in, but we'll go ahead and start with you, Mr. Murphy, and I'll send a text message out to Brother Cliff to go ahead and call into the show because I gave him the information. He has something special he was going to be sharing today. But you just finished putting together, as you were sharing yesterday, after spending the last 2 weeks of getting the publication together for the last year's edition of the National Black Unity News, and you say now you can come up for air. And so that's good. Glad you're able to get that publication out, especially since we own less than 1% of the media, and really working hard to make sure that we don't lose our market share space. And what do you see in terms of our future as we grow with the publication?
Okay, that's a good question, brother. I'm Jahi. Based on my observations, there's not too many black newspapers being created or even kept alive, so to speak. And a lot of people, I notice some people are moving more into magazines, I think they're getting the boost because of the internet. You can pretty much put one together on the internet, and you don't really have a great what you call printing production or price that you have to look at. But in this global scheme of things, we are in dire straits right now, to be quite honest with you, when it comes to media services. Now, there's a host of online radio broadcasts and podcasts and blogging, and it's a wealth of those out there, but the only problem is how to find those media sources. There's not too many outlets where you can go to a directory, or what would I say, the superhighway or supermarket, where you can go to one place and pick out the type of shows and services that you want to listen to or see. And so to anybody listening out there, this will be a great venture for you to see if you can collect data on black media, and if you can pull out all the resources together, it can be very lucrative. At the same time, it'd be extremely useful. I attempted to do that on a very small scale, but you know, I can't. As I got older, you know, I can't wear too many hats, and so. But I encourage those, like I say, to bring those collective resources together would be vital to the community. And again, as Brother Jahi just mentioned, we own less than 1% of the media, and the media, even the 1% of the media that we have, you know, all media is pretty much under attack from the president, from outside influences such as Russia, China, and places like that. They are putting information out there that kind of pit one's people against another, or if you know, bad information out there, pitting people against one another, and just putting out there using propaganda on people. And so you got to be extremely careful who you listen to and what you listen to. And that's why it's so important to support the National Black Unity News, because it's a genuine publication coming from genuine people, and it's for us and it's by us. We don't have no outside influence. In other words, we are not brought, we are not kept by anyone, and we are self-sufficient. And the editors and the writers and the contributors of this publication have your best concerns at heart, because they really, really want to see you grow and prosper. And it's a wise saying, and they say people perish because of lack of knowledge. And because all of this fake information and misinformation that's being brought forth now, you need to find reliable resources where you can get reliable information from that you know that's going to benefit you. Back to you, Brother Satawi.
Yes, sir. We were waiting for Brother Cliff to call in, and he hasn't called in yet, but I believe we have Brother Wayne Randall on the line, and I'm going to defer the conversation over to him in case he had some questions he wanted to put before you. I know he has an article coming up in the upcoming edition of the paper, and again, you know, we were waiting for a special guest we were supposed to have on today, who has not called in yet. I just sent him out a text, and hopefully we get him on before the show is out, because he had a lot that he was going to share, and we saw that 4 minute today show around a discussion around that topic. So, Brother Wayne, you there?
Yes, I am, Brother Jahi.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
All right. You have any questions or concerns or anything that you'd like to share with Mr. Murphy, or anything that you'd like to share in terms of, a preview to what you got coming out in the latest edition of the National Black Unity News?
Well, yes, I do. I always have something relevant to talk to my brother about, and a lot of what's going to come out in this article of mine, it has a great deal to do with where we are as Black Americans and the consumer base that we have. We have a massive consumer base. And what I'm going to be talking about in this article is it's called Tis the Season. It's a certain consciousness that I want those readers or anyone may find themselves going into this season to think about. And because African Americans alone are the most powerful consumer base demographically in the United States, with a current buying power of $1 trillion that was forecast to reach about $1.3 trillion by 2017. So you can see the importance of them wanting to connect with the African-American consumer. So what I'm talking about in this article, Tis the Season, is just giving people a forward look into, we know this is coming, It comes every year. We know it has programmed in ways that it entices people's senses, and people go out and do all this abundant spending. And what I really do is I try to get people to get a consciousness of where they need to put the brakes on. Where they need to put the brakes on, because they have their regular expenses that they have monthly. And now you have this other added expense, and I just generally what the article is about. And I put some tips in there about pitfalls where people may find themselves sliding
not,
into.
Not to cut you off, brother, but I just wanted to make a quick point.
Sure.
You know, one of the things that I noticed, especially like in Baltimore, is that you had people that would go out and spend money outside of their budget for the holidays to buy gifts and stuff like that to sort of like, you know, a feel-good moment. And then when you look in January and February, which was like the highest month of evictions in terms of people that, quote-unquote, robbed Peter to pay Paul but didn't end up paying Paul, and so they got evicted.
You make a great point, and that's one of the tips that I put in my article, and I talk about at all costs you want to avoid this pitfall of excessive credit card spending, because what's going to happen? You're going to hit that slippery slope. It's a terrible thing, and I just put in some general tips about where people should spend their plastic when it's all flashing it, like you were talking about. Now, you want to plan a trip or make a reservation or buy a plane ticket, or make a few online purchases, but we have to keep our wits about ourselves and think to ourselves and ask ourselves the questions over and over, do I really have it in the budget to do all this spending? I mean, sure, we should have a list of people that maybe we want to connect with and likewise, but you make a good point, brother, a very good point, valid point. You can feel it well into the new year, and this is when analyses are made about the spending from one year to the next, and how well that's being done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very valid point. David, what do you see in terms of as we prepare for the holidays? Some of the pitfalls that people need to look at avoiding and whatever in terms of what Brother Randall just shared.
Well, again, I just mentioned that, you know, people perish because of lack of knowledge. And like you say, this season has always been for some time now. It's about marketing and it's about psychological information that they give to a person that, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. And, you know, and it's been from generation to generation. People have hocked everything they had just to buy some meaningless things sometimes to share with sometimes. I'm just giving you an example. When I was a little boy, you know, sometimes during the Christmas holidays, it's eight of us, so, you know, back in them days, you know, it was difficult, you know, to try to take care of all of those children and feed them, too. And so we got the basic things, you know, pair of skates and pair of guns and all of them little things, but oftentimes we would put them things aside and play with boxes sometimes. You know, just the pretty boxes, man, you know, jumping inside of them, making castles and do all kinds of stuff with them, you know. And before January hit, half of those idols was broken and tore up. And so all of that money, in other words, went down the drain. And as Brother Wayne Randall just mentioned, you know, we had to be very conscious consumers. And now it escalated. It escalated a hundredfold now. People are using all types of techniques to get into your pockets. They send in all types of subliminal messages to you to get into your pockets. And we are, when I say we, I'm talking about black, African, indigenous people are the ones who are most preyed upon. And that's why it's so important what Brother Wayne Randall is doing, because he's bringing forth great information that can save you a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, that hard money that you work for, and how you can have a better quality of life if you just take heed to the information he has. See, we all, like I say, sometimes we as people had this little thing about staying our lane. And sometimes if you don't know, you just don't know. So if you don't know, you need to ask somebody. And that's why it's so important to see, this is what this brother specializes in. And that's why I encourage people, man, if you don't know how to do this, no matter, Brother Wayne, we speak often. He explains to me that no matter how great or how small your income is, you can do certain things with it, and you can put a certain amount away, even though you may be having struggle with meat, that you can still do certain things if you budget your money right. And that's why I say, you know, I appreciate this brother, Wayne Randall, for coming on board with us, because he brings vital information to the community. Back to you, sir.
All right. That's very, very powerful. As we see, I'm still waiting for Brother Cliff to get on, but as we see, the country went on and pushed Matt Kavanaugh through in terms of being the next Supreme Court justice, which means he will be there till the day he dies, or till he gets so old and he has to resign or whatever. Any comments either one of you gentlemen have concerning that situation, since we don't have our guest we're looking to have on the show today?
I think, brother, it was just a display of power as to when something is wrong, they can turn it into making it right. If they want you, they're going to put you in at all costs. So they gave the doctor her just due to come about and make her claim, but she had a lot at stake. And I just don't think a woman of her caliber would have put all that at stake if it wasn't some validity to the case. And she took a lie detector. They never imposed that on him. She willingly took it. But somewhere my gut told me they were going to push him through anyway. I know they had that little 11th hour thing going on with Collins and a few other senators, but something in my gut told me he's going to prevail, because, you know, it was 45 men. We know who I'm talking about. And you're right. Here he is. He's going to sit on the highest court of the land. There's no term limits. The president will be gone. He'll be still there. This is profound. You know? But he's going to be hit with major subjects like education, immigration, and these women, these Me Too, women's issues, he's going to get the backlash of that. It's going to come forth again.
Yeah, and I want to add a little to that as well. You know, like Brother Wayne just said, that is showing you who has power, in spite of what you think or in spite of what you feel. They demonstrated their power. They pushed this thing through. Connor, whatever his name is, you know, he was going to have a vote no matter what the outcome was going to be. You know, this is just arrogance, 101, straight up. And see, I always tell people, power only concedes to power. And while Washington and the larger community of the United States are at odds with one another now, it's almost to the brink of left and right, up and down. That's how far apart. It's no more in the middle, so to speak. And I think it's a travesty of justice and law, the way things are being operated. You know, no people of integrity. To me, personally, I'm going to just be straight up about it. How they used to put down gangs, the Blood and the Crips, I think they're more worse than the Blood and the Crips when they come talking about loyalty. No matter what, do or die, I'm going to stay with my people. And in spite of what the real, you know, issues are. But again, see, you know, like I say, this man sits there, you know, making key decisions for all of us. you know, it's time. Mm-hmm. I believe it's time. No matter how great, this is what the three of us are doing right now. See, this is power. This is brothers coming together, communicating with one another, people sharing information with one another, people, no matter how small, because any, like the nuclear bomb, it begins with atoms and cells. This little teeny thing starts out with, you know, and you never know the extent. But this is what we are talking about. This is what we are doing, using these airways right now, who we can reach. So we just, like I say, I believe that every man is just like a cell. Every man has power. And if we use it wisely, and if we use it not just for selfish reasons, if we use it for the good of all mankind, and especially your people, then we can affect change. You know, we cannot right now at this particular state, while they're at odds with one another, this is the perfect time for us as a people to unite, to build our call, and make 10-year plans, 20-year plans, 30-year plans. But, you know, like I say, and you don't have to wait on the world to come in. You know, like I say, just what we are doing right now, the National Black Unity News is a good outlet for that. You know, just information is power. And they're going to do them no matter what. It's about high time we start doing us. Back to you, sir.
Yes, sir. One of the things that Brother George Shabir, who's an ancestor now, used to share with me is that the real battle in America was the battle for us to be able to have, quote unquote, as he said, real black power. Real black power is being able to get done what you want to get done, irregardless of how anybody feels about it. And so, yeah, we got people right now who, you know, the Me Too movement and all of them, or they're going to be in an uproar, you know. The thing is, how can they get people to turn out at the voter's box to begin to try to reverse some of this stuff that's going on and whatever. So I listened to the Breakfast Club, and, you know, they had Faison Love on, and, you know, he talked about that he didn't really want to even talk about Trump no more. He says, look, it's going to be a 4 to 8 year run. He says, it's like when you're in jail. So you do your push-ups and you look for the day that you're going to get out. He says, so be prepared for them to have a female that will become the next president of the United States in whatever election that the Republicans lose, he said, because Trump's term, at most, it can only be another 4 years after this. And so he said, you know, it's like you in jail. If you're in jail, he says, you learn how to persevere till your time come up. And so I know some people don't want to hear that. They figure, you know, hey, maybe we can fight him, we can beat him, maybe we can impeach him. But even if you want to impeach him, you have to have the power to impeach him. Other than that, it's a frivolous run. It's a frivolous run unless you're really looking at a way that you can get together the amount of people and the amount of, not just the people, but the amount of votes that it would take in the Congress to even put impeachment on the table, because it's already been put out there by a couple of congressmen, and they haven't gotten anybody to ratify the whole process of bringing him before the Congress for impeachment proceedings. And so, you know, it's very, very interesting in terms of the times that we're living in, and this is a time to quietly or loudly build underground so that when we get our get free card is that, you know, that we have something in place, even though it's not going to I won't say reverse, but it, you know, won't necessarily change the long systemic things that Trump is putting in place that's going to affect the next generations.
Yes, sir. And even on top of that, you know, I tell you, you know, I always speak about this pretty much on every show. You know, there's all types of laws. Like I said, there's man's law, there are natural laws, and there's God laws. And sometimes, you know, as the people, you know, and I'm just saying, you know, I know we've been through the rain and through the fire. But then sometimes America is going through the fire right now. You know, when a country, when it's divided like that, usually it falls. unless, see, all things are possible, you know, with God, you know, and just like I, you know, in my own imagination, I never thought in my lifetime that I would see a black president in this country, but it happened. We don't know out of these ashes that's burning, this fire that's burning right now, what's going to arise out of this. Maybe the people will rebel. Maybe the people will really, truly start demanding justice. And maybe people, because like I say, the crowds are coming from all over the world now. This man has been out there and made a mockery of the entire world. He embraced his enemies and shunned what it supposed to be so-called friends. I mean, you know, I'm talking about countries now. And so people now, you know, see, you know, this great country of ours being exposed for what it truly is. There's a lot of problems in this country that need to be fixed, but it got to be brought to the light, and it's being that's being done. And that just maybe, if enough of us believe... And if enough of us, you know, put in the work, you know, things can change. And I know things can change because I know I can change things. I know Brother Randall can change things. I know you changing things. And so, you know, like you said, we're going to have to wait it out sometime. But in the meantime, prepare. Be alert. Be vigilant. Because, like I say, change is coming. And we see it, you know. Like I say, you know, you see the changes taking place. You know, one time we were the ones on the battlefield protesting and fighting for this. Now, you see other folks out there fighting and protesting and hitting the street with signs. I mean now. So you know, so things have changed. You know, people. That would have never done this before because now it's coming home. Just like my man said, Malcolm X, it's coming home to roost. And so with that being said, I'm going to go back to Mr. Randall.
Oh, Brother Murphy, you made some strong, valid points. And like you said, change can only happen when we act. We're doing it in this platform that we're having right now, having this forum, and we're touching the minds and the hearts of people, whoever's listening to us right now. But you're right. You can see the masses of mainstream people who are upset and in an uproar about what happened with this whole process. And it really has affected people. I actually, myself, I believe we're still going to see more of it. I know he's been confirmed and he's in. But I still believe the uproar is going to continue on. And you're right. You never know who's going to emerge from the ashes. Let's see, when is the next election for 2020? I like to think that he's not going to make it another 4 years. Honestly, I would like to not see him even make four. But as Brother Jaheed said, you have to, if it was a process of the ballot and we had enough people on the Senate floor, then you could possibly bring it to the table to do something about it. But unlike that's not the case. He seems like he has enough things that he has done that it should be at the table. You know, his attorney, his manager for his when he was campaigning, Manafort and Cohen, and we got enough people who have gone with plea deals and because of their guilt in one way or another, who are directly connected to him. So it's just like Brother Jay said, this is power in its blatant form. I mean, he's in such a seat, and all the world is looking at it. He said things to the people in NATO. He said a lot of things to people in Africa, and now his wife is over there abroad, and a lot of people have mixed feelings about her being there after some of the outlandish things he said we know some months back. It is something. But there you go. This is power right there in our faces. This is arrogance. But he can do what he wants, and he's doing it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One of the things that they talked about this morning on the, well, not this morning, well, this morning when I looked at the Breakfast Club was that they talked about when Bush was in office and how that paved the way for us to have our first black president. So they said with Trump being in office, that, you know, it should pave the way for us to have our first female president, which could be a black woman. So, you know, and they talked about, you know, how, you know, black women's characters are, and then how, you know, that motherly instinct that they have, and how, you know, how would a black woman rule this country? And, you know, when I think about my own mother, I mean, you know, hey, she gave my father, you know, she gave him a run for his money. And they're still together, but I'm just saying, you know, that she, you know, she was very, very much involved in them being able to move on to a better financial situation in terms of purchasing a house in Columbia. And, you know, at the time, my father, you know, he didn't, he was getting advice from people on a job at NSA. And, you know, his thing was, you can't believe what them people telling you. But they purchased a house in Columbia. And when they purchased a house in Columbia, they were paying $385 a month for the mortgage note. That's how much they paid a month. They ultimately ended up, when they moved to Georgia, sold the house for $285,000. Tremendous return on investment.
You're absolutely right about that, brother. I don't know what year that was, but you were right about that. That was a great return on an investment, a great return. But it was because of your mother's thinking, and they pushed forward, and then they did it. They made that happen. Yeah, and I'm sure with that money, they went into a market. There was a lower market and bought something that still had money left over because of the sale of the house.
Yes, they did.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes, they did.
But she had a vision, and she was right. One good thing, your father, he's still with her, so she's got some points in her corner. There you go. I mean, if anything, you know, she wasn't just talking it, she showed him. But, you know, I'm sure they worked it out. But I like what you said, that out of it all, a 45 could be paving the way for a woman. I don't see it as being impossible. There's many things I don't believe are impossible, but if it's predestined, it can happen. I'm sure as a lot of women who have a lot more savvy, if they were in his position right now, they would be running the country in a better position than where it is right now. Much better position. And then countries wouldn't be as upset with us as they are now. But it would be interesting to see. I hope I'm around to see it. And I like what Brother Murphy said. Even myself, I'm glad that back in 2008, at the time I was living in New York and Queens, that I pulled the lever and I said to myself, wow, I'm voting for a black man to be president. And then it came to pass. He became president. And for two terms. And I was glad that it happened in my lifetime. It even gave me a sense of confidence where I was at that moment as to where I am right now. So, back over to you, brother.
Any thoughts about that, David Turner, a female president?
Well, like I say, all things are possible. And, quiet is kept. According to some, we really supposed to already have one. You know, if it was, you know, like I say, man is can be very treacherous and scheming, and you know, people can do some dubious things when it comes to power. And you know, that pen, as they say, can be as mighty as the sword. They say it is mightier than the sword. And so, like I say, you know, I'm at the age now where, you know, I still can be shocked, but some things, you know, it's just that it's beyond, you know, like I say, I've seen, you know, over the years, you know, from generation to generation, I'm going to use this as a parable or a sample, where you see how people right here in Baltimore and Maryland are being murdered on a consistent basis. And you watch the news or pick up a newspaper and be, oh, well, two more people got killed, three more people, and they just, like, nonchalant, you know, just, you know. But then people don't see behind the scene that somebody's family member. Somebody got to bury this person. Families come from all over. Some people are mourning, you know, and hurt and going through so much trauma. And you know, but see, we the shock value, you know, it just so commonplace now that this is almost like values. Our value system just has gone to the pits. And so, but I still believe in, as far as David Murphy's morals, you know, I have to live with myself. I, you know, conscience is a powerful thing as well. And if you can't look at yourself in the mirror, you can't sleep good at night because of something you're doing or not doing or something like that, then, you know, usually it would have an effect on you. And so, like I say, all things are possible. And I believe, I really believe, this is David Murphy speaking. When a man or a woman thinks within their hearts and they put in the work, and I think they can achieve just about anything they want to achieve. I ain't talking about this way out stuff, you know. But I'm just saying, things are extremely doable on both ends. Just like the spectrums, you know, it's ups and downs, in and outs. You know, you got the good and the bad. Okay, and excuse me for that, but you know, gentlemen, I'm just saying this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Life is what it is, and you can look at it through a rose-colored glass. You can look at it half full or half empty. It's all in the way you look at it. But, you know, the mind is so powerful. You can have a negative output or a positive one. And I'm going to say this, too, on a scientific fact, on a spiritual fact. You know, if you look deep within your mind, the spirit like that, you when you make a conscious decision, when you believe something, it actually changes your body physically as well as spiritually. And you can heal. I mean, the body heals it. I mean, you can heal. I mean, the mind is so powerful. And we can't even have the inkless outlet that how much power that God put within each and every person, the capability that each and every man and woman and child has. And so I believe, you know, I'm so pumped up right now because just thinking about this, all this stuff that goes in and around us every day, you can still have a positive outlook. People could be dying right at your footsteps and stuff. There's still hope. And you say it's a shame, but you can make a change. You can do that. And so you know, I look at things and effect, and like I said, I'm gonna put in some work, and I pray to God that He bless, you know, that I'm doing the right thing and that I, you know, could help my fellow man, and that's it. You know, I'm just gonna do that until the day I die, and just maybe. Somebody else, just like I did. See, I'm carrying the baton for my forefathers. And maybe, just maybe, somebody would carry, you know, after I'm dead and gone, would carry the baton as well. Back to you, sir.
All right. Yeah, we want to wind this down some as we move through this dialogue and discussion. And I just want to put another topic on the table, and that...
Mm-hmm.
Topic is, where do both of you gentlemen see black folks moving in terms of the business realm as we venture 2018 and beyond? How do we recapture that one point? You said, Brother Randall, $1.3 trillion that we spend?
Yes, yes. $1.3 trillion for 2017. And this is one of the reasons why the big chains want to connect with us.
David, I know you said that you believe that figure is probably more than that because, you know, he said everybody comes to the black community to open shop. And if we're such a poor people, why'd everybody come blocking our neighborhoods to open shop?
Well, it's like I say, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Sometimes, you know, like I said, this is what I say all the time. This is how powerful the media is. The media can use such propaganda. You know, it can put people's mindset at odds with themselves. And everybody all over the world looks at us, you know, in two different types of ways. They look at us as one way, you know, that they can't figure out why we don't see the opportunity they see. And then they look at us too, and then they have what I call a fear factor, because they all, I think, in some form or shape, they all participate in this one thing. Now I'm going a little deep on you. Now, it is written that they said the black man is the original man. So all these people all over the earth, all these different people are all of our children, our offspring. They us. We are them. They are us. And I believe that, you know, because of our spirit, the way we are as a people, the original man, we had that attributes of God. And see, God is a forgiving God. After all the atrocities that happened to the black man in and around the world, even to this day, we are still support of the people. We still want to work with them, live with them, even try to be like them sometimes. But nobody, all these other people, nobody wants to be like us. In a sense, I mean, they want to copy styles and stuff like that, but I'm talking about the conditions that we're in. And most likely nobody could survive the conditions that we able to survive in because we are special people. We can tolerate more than the average man. But until the day come when the black man awaken and arise, all of these people all over the world will crumble because their resources will be diminished. We are, like Brother Wayne said, we are the biggest consumers in the world. And if we stop spending with other folks, even if we just start spending, even if we just cut it in half, institutions will fall. Governments will fall. And see, people know the power. That's why they don't want us to know the power that we possess. It's a concerted effort to keep us from knowing. Because when we do awaken, you better believe things will change. Back to you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Warren, you want to elaborate a little bit more on that point?
Yeah, I like to expound a little bit about what David said. Yeah, it's a consciousness. But I like to think that we are on the verge of things changing. I really do believe that. I like to think it's going to happen in our lifetime. I know we're talking about it through this forum, but I really believe it. It's just like you said, look at the numbers. If people weren't doing as much spending and they were more doing more saving and then putting more of that money back into their communities, businesses could easily flourish because you have the money, the startup money right there. We have the money. We have the people that it's the mindset. So, hey, how many people can we get to think like this? But this is why we're having this type of forum, so people can be aware this is the kind of discussions that are going on. This is where we are, and they can see themselves a part of this. I am, you are, and all the many listeners that are listening to us. That's one of the great things I like about this this paper. It hits the masses. We don't know who this paper, who's going to see it online, or whose doorstep or business it's going to drop into. It's such an outlet. It's a smorgasbord of information, and people could tap into us. I do believe we're on the verge of a consciousness that could possibly change. And change can only happen when we act, but I like to think it's going to happen in our lifetimes, brother. So I like to think something's going to happen. People have to see the trajectory that we're on is not good. But for the black community, it's a possibility. We can turn it around. That's why we just have to keep having these talks. We're going to keep having these talks. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Just like Brother Murphy said, until I take my last breath, I want to do something that's going to enlighten, educate, and uplift my community. That's what I want to do. I believe there's greatness in all of us. We just have to tap into what that may be, whatever their gifts may be, whatever it is, to help somebody help their community out. Back to you, Brother Jahi.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, I think about in terms of my lifetime when watching the holiday of Kwanzaa grow and being around from the inception of its development and being a part of the organization that helped develop the idea of Kwanzaa and how it started off as a small gathering. And those of us that participated at that time, you know, we caught hell from our family, other people. He's gonna celebrate Kwanzaa. What's Kwanzaa? Y'all just ate that up, you know, and other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, but to see it grow into a holiday that's celebrated worldwide in the African community, mm-hmm. you know, where there's Kwanzaa celebrations in France, Kwanzaa celebrations in South Africa. Even though it did not originate on the continent of Africa, but there's Kwanzaa celebrations everywhere, all because a small group of people in Los Angeles, California, at the time had a vision and said, this is something we're going to do, and we're going to share it with the rest of the world. And it's the same as I see with this newspaper, the National Black Unity News. We don't know where and what doors and what bridges this newspaper will open up as we grow with the newspaper to, it can go to the edges of the earth. I mean, one of the things that was very interesting about the Negro World newspaper that Marcus Garvey published was that he had a tremendous circulation in a time when there was people who were opposed to, you know, his organization and other stuff. And he had people that was merchant marines that used to smuggle the newspaper to other parts of the world. To the point that when Ho Chi Minh came to Harlem in the 20s and later on, is that a lot of people don't know that Ho Chi Minh had a UNIA card, and he showed it to Kwame Ture when Kwame Ture went to Vietnam. You know, he showed him, you know, Kwame Ture looking at him and say, you part of the Garvey movement? And he said, yeah, I'm part of the Garvey movement. And, you know, just the impact of what we're doing, as you said, and how it can impact the rest of the world is that, you know, it can get, I don't like to use the term scary, but it can get real, real scary as we move forward in terms of, again, to him who much is given, much is required. So, you know, we have a tremendous path in front of us. Back to you, gentlemen.
Yes, yes, you are so right, and that is biblical. You're right about, but that's not going to stop us in our quest, because we know this is bigger than us. It's greater than us. and there's people out there that are struggling. There's people out there dying. It's just like David said. If people become immune to the things that's going on around them, they've become immune. Like it's just second nature. You hear tragedies and things happening in the neighborhood, in the community. So to try to turn things around for the betterment, we're going to stay on this trajectory. I see this paper as a conduit, and what's great about it is it's online. If it's online, it can reach masses anywhere just by a click. We don't know whose lives we may be touching, and all of us can be contacted through the paper or through the Internet. So I believe that we're invoking change right now by doing what we're doing. That's just why I set aside this time of day on a Sunday, which is nice time of the day to be talking to you powerful brothers. I was more than honored to be here to want to talk. I was thinking about it since I got the text earlier.
Okay.
Well, you know, like I say, you know, I tell people this because the truth. People have been crying out. And by divine inspiration, this paper came to be. And I'm just grateful that I'm just one of the tools, because just like you, bro, we all are part of this. It's not a David Murphy thing. It's a we thing. It's a us thing. And it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about all of us. And like I say, we put information in not to put down any group of race of people. What we are doing is try to uplift our own. And as I said before, we are forgiving people. See, people are fearful that because they've done things to us that we may come back and do the same thing that they've done to us. And so that, you know, that's a real fear that people have because of certain types of guilt they carry. But, you know, like I say, if we continue to just put in the work and keep the faith and believe in what we're doing. And like I say, you never know. Words are so powerful. I don't care what form they come in. They are powerful, and they don't come back void. It is reaching masses way beyond even our own capability of thinking who this paper may be reaching or the information that we are putting in there. And we don't know the historical value that's taking place right now. The three of us right now are probably, making history. This could be the greatest publication that ever came to our community. We don't know, but you know, but like I say, one day and one step at a time. And so, you know, and I thank God for that. And while I have these few moments left on the show, I just want to give people information that the publication will, the hard copy will be available, I believe, tomorrow. And so if you want, you can also will be online tomorrow. And I can be reached at 443-455-2373. Or you can go to the National Black Unity News to see the online version of it. And I'm going to say this. You know, Brother Satawi and Brother Wayne Randall, I appreciate you both because, see, you guys are what makes this publication possible. And like I say, my steps are ordered. And so as we march toward victory, because that's where we're going, victory, and we can't be wary and doing good. Yeah, you know, sometimes we have to go through the fire, but, you know, that's necessary. And but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, our conscience are clear because we're putting in work not only to enhance our own lives, but to better other people's lives as well. Thank you, Brother Satawi.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. You're welcome. I think about this white lady that was interviewed when the people had released Nelson Mandela in South Africa. You know, she said she thought that we were going to do to them what they had done to us. Mm-hmm. And she said if we had known that y'all wasn't going to riot and y'all wasn't going to burn the damn country up, she said, we could have been released. We thought, you know, that y'all was going to have a retaliation move. And instead they had a reconciliation move, one of the greatest forgiveness programs in the world. You know what I mean? And so You know, it's just powerful that, you know, people think. Human nature says, well, man, what we done did to them, if we let up off of them, that's what they're going to do to us. You know, and, but that's not, people that know, black people know, that's not black people's spirit. You know, sometimes we too damn forgiving.
I hate to chuckle on that, but yeah, you have a point there about that. But in doing so, that showed them the way that they needed to go, because change would have never happened if we had done the same thing that they did to him. It is a difficult thing to turn a cheek like that. Yeah, that's not to say it wasn't difficult. Yes, that was difficult. He was in incarcerated 26 years.
That's 27.
A couple, 20, my, decade. I mean, look at how much can be accomplished in a year or two. I mean, 27 years of one's life, is that's a travesty. No.
Yeah, so, you know, just you know, see, that's why I say we stand on such great shoulders, you know. And like you say, we set such powerful examples. And but, you know, it's a time for this and it's a time for that. And we just have to let God lead us and, you know, in the way we should go. And with that being said, back to you, Brother Satawi.
All right, with that being said, we're going to wrap up today's show. I want to thank both of you gentlemen, Wayne Randall and the publisher of the National Black Unity News, Mr. David Murphy, for joining us on the program today. We'll see if next Sunday we might can find out what happened to Brother Cliff and be able to get him on here to be able to share information about the upcoming Okay, I'm looking at an email that he sent me, and saying that he wasn't going to be able, that he was looking forward to calling in, anticipating the show. I had texted him the number. I probably should have emailed it to him. But anyway, we'll see if we can get him back on next week if he got his schedule clear. If part of what he was going to be sharing was the upcoming 2018 Sixth Regional Diaspora Caucus, which is an international summit that will be held in Baltimore, Maryland, being sponsored by cooperative effort of the Sixth Region Diaspora Caucus, Maryland Council of Elders, the Teaching Artistic Institute, the Pan-African Diaspora Union, and our Victoria City. Panel discussion confronting the issues of our community, global community, guest speakers from the African Union, diaspora delegations and Pan-African Federalist Movement, historical displays, cultural presentations, social events, meet the Sixth Regional Diaspora Caucus, National Secretariat in the Maryland Council of Elders, and a bunch more stuff that's going to be done. That's going to be held at the Great Blacks and Wax on Saturday, November the 17th. But hopefully we can have him on here next week and he'll be able to share all of the information that he was going to so gracefully share today. Sorry for about the mix-up in the communication. He wanted me to email him the call-in number. I had texted him the call-in number, and I should have and check my emails. But anyway, we want to thank those that tuned in today, and we thank you for being part of our listening audience here on the National Black Unity News Show. We're going to close out with our theme song called It's My Time, and it's our time. It's our time to reach our destiny.
I'm on a page.